Well, good morning, everybody. There's a lot going on in our nation, in our world today, that if you read the Bible, something's happening. Are there any announcements? Yes, young lady.
I need to have a brief ladies' day meeting after church today.
Any other announcements? How many of you ever received a toy called the Etch-a-Sketch as a kid? Well, you had the control to create something out of nothing. And you could turn the knobs either which way. And if you didn't like what you created, you flipped it upside down and you shook it and you erased the past. And I was thinking maybe God did us that way. He turned us upside down and shook us from our past and created something new out of something simple. And wherever we were, he started to create something new in our lives. Hallelujah. Of which we should all give God the praise for, because he made us all special and one-of-a-kind individuals. Morning, Sister Debbie. Oh, did you have any announcements? So I was trying to find a verse of scripture to go along, but I like this one. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So, at this time, when we have a prelude, young lady. It's hard to top a song like that. Praise God. A call to worship. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for another day, for the choice and the privilege and the freedom to be in your house, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord, to sing your praises, to fellowship with your people, and to hear your precious word, that may be strengthened and grow and to be greater witnesses for you. And we thank you, Father, for what you're about to do in this place and in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, if you will, and let us sing 232.
Thank you.
promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, they cannot fail. When the howling storms of the fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ my Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises.
Amen.
You know, there's a precious little statement there. Resting in my Savior is my all in all. Hallelujah. What a statement. Praise God. A call to stewardship. But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Praise God. We get your prayer request. I have a friend of mine whose name is Mark. I heard last Sunday that he had a stroke. He's alive, but they don't know if he's going to recover fully or not. And it should bring awareness to us that none of us are guaranteed the future. And we need to be ready, because you never know what event may change your life forever. I wrote Bob and Linda and Sister Doris and Ralph and Debbie and Frank and Pat, the church, their families, our nation, and our government. And all these need prayer, but how perfect does a person have to live without ever having to go through something like a stroke that happens out of nowhere? It just makes you wonder. But thank God we have a good help. Any prayer requests?
Baker family and Travis, the Nolan family, they both put parents and the family could use our prayers.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a joy. Our granddaughter Josie's turning 18 tomorrow.
Wow.
And what a joy it is, and she's debating whether to go to Gulfsburg or go to Mount St. Mary's for college, and she wants to be a teacher like her mom, like her cousin. But yeah, she'll be 18. I remember her running through here, being up there with Owen. They're up there singing, okay? But yeah, what an incredible young lady she is. And a few weeks ago, I told you that Ernie Snyder's coming back in May 5th. I'm flying out. Last week, he had a bout of his heart. That kind of put a scare in him, so I'm flying out on the 2nd of May, and I'm flying back in with him on May 5th. So I'm asking for prayers for that time. I feel good about going, and I'm flying alone. So, yep. And I start back up my flying lessons next month. So I've been flying. So.
Well, when the Lord calls, all of us are going to have flying lessons at one time.
Yeah.
There'll be no fighting over the window seat.
Well, I can share this with you because the only thing that really scares me, but then I thought, my goodness, I never know when the Lord's coming. But when you go up in the air and you're in there and you're flying and you're going up and up, you can't see what's coming in front of you. So we never know when the Lord is coming, so we just have to be prepared. And we have to rely on him. And the whole way, I kept talking to my Tom, who is the person that's teaching me how to fly. And I shared that with him as I was flying. I said, this reminds me of going to heaven with Jesus. And I never know when he's coming back. And he's a God-fearing young man also. So it's a blessing to be able to fly with him.
And just Sister Debbie.
Just keep Sister Tammy on her prayer.
Yes, sir.
A number of you asked about my wife Deb. She had her second surgery a couple weeks ago, and that went well. And it has taken her a little longer to come back from it than she thought. She thought she'd just be up and bouncing the next day, and it has taken a little more than that, but everything went well, and she's doing good. Thank you for your prayers for her. And I think I've mentioned to you before, Deb's niece, Missy, whom we do a lot with, she's a single mom with a special needs boy, and she's an alcoholic, bad, and it's gotten worse. And she may be, finally, many of us have dealt with addiction. People with addictions and know they have to get to the place where they're willing. And she may be, we had a conversation yesterday with a center, she may be ready to say she's going to go in. But that will mean some of us having to take care of Lachlan, who's 11 and special needs. I mean, he is a liar. And they live in Honeybrook, which is like an hour from us. So, as Deb and I talked about, I said that the most sensible thing is for me to go there through the week and just live there at their mobile home and take care of him there, rather than thinking we're going to be driving back and forth and stuff. So I'm not sure how this is going to unfold, but I certainly ask your continued prayers for Missy. She needs to go in someplace and have inpatient care, be detoxed, and start the process, or lose her. I mean, it's very critical. So please keep her in prayer, and us and me, if I have to live with a high-energy, special needs 11-year-old, I'm going to need a lot of extra help.
Well, God's grace is sufficient. Yes, sister.
I want to thank everybody.
She went to Florida and she'll be coming back this, the middle of this week. Hopefully, we'll have to bring her back.
Yes, sister.
My sister-in-law passed away yesterday morning. She's 93. She leaves a husband who's 93 and has health issues. So I know the family would appreciate our prayers.
Any others? Yes, young man.
My daughter Elizabeth, she was in Alabama and adopted a newborn is off the cryos withdrawal, and actually they have a home in Washington now, but she took 2 weeks of paperwork for 2 days. So she had, God's been there all around, and it's just been a good thing. So now the journey begins.
Well, there's not a need that has been spoken or unspoken that God hasn't already known about. Nothing that we're going to do will ever take God by surprise. So if there are any other prayer requests? How's Brother Bob doing?
There. Well, I see Danny and Kathy are here either. They may want to keep them in the prayers. And Doris was, having
he mentioned Doris earlier on here.
The older
we have a lot to pray for today. But God knows them all if we forget any. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now let us believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day. Thank you for a privilege, Father, to intercede on behalf of others. For those, Lord God, who are sick in body, for those who need a touch from you, for those who need traveling mercies, the list is great, but you know each one, Father, that we have your promise that you will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you are our peace in the midst of a storm, our very present help in time of trouble. I just lift up this whole list to you, Father, and for each one who is here today, who is standing in behalf of others, for those who can speak in request prayer, and for those who are not able to speak for themselves, Lord, to reach out to you, I just ask for your divine intervention, that your Holy Spirit would move in the midst, and to touch those, Lord God, who may have had strokes, that you would just bless them, Lord, that your Spirit would visit them and send someone into their lives to share the message of Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. I just ask, Lord, that you would meet each need today, Lord God. And for those, Lord God, who may not know you in the families, for those who are lost, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to move in the midst. As you moved in the days of old, Lord God, I believe you're still able to move in the present time, Lord God. Move upon our nation, upon our government, upon those, Lord God, who are not making righteous decisions for the good of the nation. I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would enlighten them. You would open their eyes, Lord God, as you did Saul of Tarsus, Lord God. That you would remove the scales, Lord, that they may see and behold your glory, Lord. Father, I just ask that you would bless each one who is here today. Meet the needs in their families and their friends, their finances, for those who are struggling. For those, Lord God, who can't seem to find that there is still hope, Lord God. For those families, Lord God, who are struggling, Lord, within, who are dealing with turmoil and battles, Lord, of any type of addiction, Lord God, whatever it may be, that you have the power, Lord God, to deliver. But just like the prodigal son, Lord, he had to come to himself to realize that he had it good in his father's house. I just lift these requests up to you, Lord God, that by your grace and your loving kindness, that you would meet each need, that you would show yourself true to these people, Lord God, and help them to realize that people need the Lord. That our nation needs God, Lord God. That you would remind our government that was founded upon the Word of God, They would bring back the basics, the fundamentals of the gospel of God. I just thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, believing, Lord God, hallelujah, that all things are possible to them that believe. Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's turn to her second hymn, number 34.
Please stand if you're able.
What joy shall fill my heart? Then
my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Hallelujah. Think what it's going to be like in heaven when every tongue and every nation will sing, how great thou art. Hallelujah. Our scripture for today is taken from Mark 10, 17 through 22. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is one good, but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these have I kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. At this time, Brother Larry will share with us the word of God. Really good to be with you as always. Look forward to the times when I can be with you. I want to sing a song this morning that really speaks to me. I love it a lot, and I hope that you will too. You may be familiar with it or maybe not. It's a newer one. Made popular by the singing group Selah. And, I suspect all of us, as we've watched this new warfare unfold in the Mideast, our hearts have been filled with all kinds of emotions. And certainly is no place we need to turn right now, more importantly, than to the Lord and His Word and to trust Him through this time. So the song's called Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Let me get a drink first.
Redeemer and friend, who
spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Amen. As we continue our journey in this Lenten season, the 40 days from Ash Wednesday to the cross, time that was celebrated in the church going back to the earliest centuries, 4th century. When the Brethren movement began, kind of threw out a lot of those Advent, Lent, Christmas, Easter, because they'd become so legalistic. But in more recent decades, we've seen there's some value in keeping the church calendar. This 40 days is to remind us of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, preparing for his ministry. And in the early, early church, it was the time that new believers were trained and prepared to be received into the church. On this Lenten Sunday, I'd like to turn our attention to the fascinating interaction between
Jesus and the person we call the rich young ruler. Let's see the picture there in the front of your worship folder. You know, I've always been a car guy, always tinkering with cars since before I even had a driver's license. I purchased an old 1950 Chevy with a worn-out automatic transmission and spent the entire summer before I turned 16 replacing that automatic transmission with a junkyard stick shift. And you've heard me talk about my old Ford pickup. It's the same year as me. We're both 1951 models, but I'm in better shape than my truck's in. I just have always enjoyed tinkering with cars, and because of that interest, family and friends often turn to me if they're having car trouble. And twice in the past couple years, including just a couple weeks ago with Missy, who I asked you to pray for, with her Jeep, I had something happen. Missy calls us, said her Jeep won't start, won't run, and you know, we're an hour away, so I load up the tools and things that I think I might need to kind of diagnose what's going on. She shorts the car battery, and I knew we had just put a new battery in that car not that long ago. Pretty sure it wasn't the car battery. So load up my tools and went, and I worked and diagnosed and, you know, checked fuel system and checked electrical and everything. And long story short, very interesting, what was keeping that Jeep from running? You recognize what that is? A little coin battery. In her key fob. Some of you that have newer vehicles know, and a lot of the new vehicles, you don't even put a key in a keyhole anymore. But your key fob, through the computer system, is recognized, and that allows the car to start. And this one thing was keeping that whole automobile with all its systems and functions from operating. And it happened to me a couple years ago with my sister-in-law's Honda. And so now I know to kind of think about that. Now, a little public service announcement. If you have a car that has a key fob like that and it's more than a couple years old, might be worth a couple bucks just to go ahead and replace this battery in the fob. Or at very least, a lot of cars have a secret that if your key fob's dead and you put it in a certain place, sometimes in a console, sometimes up under the dash, it'll allow the car to start. But I bet you don't know what that secret is for yours because you've never read it in your owner's manual. So, little public service announcement. If your key fob's more than a couple years old, you might want to think about spending a couple bucks and just throw a new coin battery in. And you might want to check your manual and see if that would ever happen. Is there a secret place that will help my car get started? One thing kept that automobile from functioning. And Jesus uses that phrase to this young man. One thing you lack. So let's pray and then we'll dig into it a bit. Lord, thank you for this morning. It's been a good morning to be together. It's nice to feel the temperature a little warmer and the sun shining today. Lord, we gather as our nation is embroiled in a scary war in the Middle East, as we see biblical prophecy unfolding. But young men and women from our nation find themselves in harm's way, and innocence, Lord, in so many of these countries, men and women, children find themselves in harm's way. So please be with us
as we gather as your people. So we think about this biblical story today and this encounter between this young man and Jesus. Open our hearts and minds to understand. Lord, would you be present with us, please, in the power of your Holy Spirit to be our teacher, and allow this imperfect messenger to be in the background and your perfect truth to be what's front and center. And by your Spirit, teach us. Gentle Shepherd, we need you. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Amen. In our morning text, we heard the story of what we call the rich young ruler. A little trivia for you. Do you know that there's no place in the Bible that refers to him as the rich young ruler? But it's a familiar expression to us. We've probably remembered that name. We probably remember that Sunday school lesson. It's interesting, though, that this story is told in each of the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those three are called synoptic, same view, because they are so similar in their view. John comes from a very different view. So all three of the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story, but only Matthew tells us that this young man is young. And only Luke tells us that he's a ruler. So this expression that we've grown up with and that we understand, the rich young ruler, really is a harmony of the three Gospels, and we may not even realize that. But I think we often misunderstand the teaching here. I really do. And I believe as we walk through this season of Lent, there's important lessons here for us in this preparation of our hearts. So let's take a look. First, there's a heartfelt inquiry happens here. The young man comes to Jesus with a heartfelt question, and maybe we have asked it or thought it too. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 17. We were talking a little bit about some of that with our Sunday school lesson. Dr. Jeremiah talked to us about heaven today. What must I do to inherit eternal life? We know, don't we, that we're all sinners. We know that we have done some things and said some things and have some things in our past and maybe our present that we're ashamed of. Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that, and we wonder, then how can I get to heaven? Can God forgive someone like me? This young man is sincere. He's coming to Jesus sincerely. What must I do? And you're sincere too, and I am. And I love how the account says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I want you to know that the Lord looks at you with all your imperfections, and me with all my imperfections, and he loves us too. And he loves us when we come to him sincerely. So that's first. Second is a hard answer. Jesus' answer to this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus reminds him of several of the Ten Commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery. He starts going through the Ten Commandments. This is what God expects. The Ten Commandments, the Old Testament law, this is what God expects of him. This is what God expects of me. This is what God expects of you. The God of all creation is perfect and holy, and he calls us to the same. Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Boy, that makes us swallow hard, doesn't it? And in both the Old and New Testament, we are called to be holy because I am holy. Leviticus 11:44, and it's quoted in 1 Peter 1:16. Be holy because I am holy. Wow. What must I do for inherent life? Well, not much. Just be perfect and be holy. And the young man, you almost blush here for him. The young man foolishly brags, verse 20, all these I've kept since my youth. I've kept all these commandments. And there are times when we think about how good we are. You know, I've been fortunate to have some fine times in a successful ministry, and I can look at those and think, boy, pretty good, Larry, you're pretty good. But when I'm honest, I cringe at my sin before God. Maybe you can relate to that. The law of the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments and all the rest, was given to Israel and given to you and me specifically to show how far we are from God's perfection and God's holiness. The purpose of the law was never God thinking, my children are going to be able to follow this perfectly. No, it was given to show them how far they were. Paul writes to the Galatians, Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And that word there is a very interesting word. That word translated from the Greek schoolmaster is a word that in wealthy Roman society, in wealthy Roman Greek culture, wealthy families, when a child was born, sometimes they would bring a servant, like a slave, but don't think of like our African-American slavery here in the United States, a servant was brought into the home whose job for the next 20 years was to care for this little one. Would help care for the little one as a baby, would be their kindergarten and elementary teacher, would teach them a trade then as they got older, would teach them all about religion and law and philosophy and culture. And that's the word used here. This person brought into a home to care for a little individual and nurture them along. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Through the Old Testament law, we see our need for Jesus. We see our need for a Savior. We can't do it ourselves. We can't be that perfection. We can't be that holiness. We need a Savior. The truth is, for the only way for us to know salvation is through Jesus Christ. This young ruler was on the right path. He was sincere. By the blood of Christ, our sins are covered, forgiven. Praise the Lord for that. on the cross, Jesus would become our sin. Do you understand that? Sometimes we talk about Jesus carrying our sin, Jesus bearing our sin, but it was more than that. On the cross, he became our sin. When God the Father looked at his Son, he saw your sin and my sin. That's why the Father turned his back. And because of that he became our sin, we can become his holiness, his perfection, so that when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus' perfection and holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's an important verse. It's a great verse. Listen to it again. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Third point is, hear the one thing. Jesus looks lovingly at this boy, right into his heart. And dear ones, he looks right into your heart, right into my heart today too. And like this little key fob battery that can stop the whole automobile, Jesus sees the one thing that is keeping this lad from complete victory in the Lord. Verse 21, one thing you lack, he says to him. And then he tells him, go sell everything you have and come follow me. The young man was very wealthy, and his riches had a hold on him, a chokehold that was keeping him from victory. It was keeping him from following the Lord completely. Now, some commentators and preachers, this is interesting, they want to make this passage universal there, that every one of us, if we're truly going to follow the Lord, must give up everything, all earthly possessions. There are religious groups, you know, that have demanded their followers take a vow of poverty. Dear ones, that's not what's going on here. That was this young guy's one thing, his wealth. But when Jesus looks into your heart, when Jesus looks into my heart, he may well see a different one thing that's keeping you from fullness of victory in Christ, of that abundant life that Jesus talks about. So what is your one thing? Well, it might be forgiveness. Are you holding on to a grudge or a brokenness and you just can't, won't let it go? It might be unconfessed sin, something you hide from everybody. Might be pride. Might be selfishness. Might be a lack of serving others. I'm going to take care of me and I don't worry about anybody else. Might be a laziness in prayer. I know I should spend time with the Lord and talk to the Lord, but I'm too busy. Might be ignoring God's word. Too busy to read God's word. Might be something else that I'm not thinking of that you know as you think through it today. What is the one thing that Jesus is calling you to give your attention to. And in this Lenten season, as we prepare our hearts to remember once again the passion and then the resurrection of our Lord, what is the one thing you really need to focus on? You need to hear God calling you to see the victory that He has for you, the abundant life that He has for you, to see all that He has for your marriage, for your life, for your parenting, for your church life, for your ministry. But it awaits your response. The one thing that Jesus lays on your heart, I need to take care of this. I need to bring this to the Lord. I need to get this fixed. I need to work on this. I need to change this. And next was the hardened heart response. The young man walks away sad. He can't overcome his one thing, his wealth. Verse 22 of our text, at this the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Dear ones, hear me today. Don't harden your hearts when the Lord lays this upon it. Jesus will show you the one thing. He will. If you honestly say, what must I do? What is the thing you're calling me to, Lord, that can change everything for me? He will show you that. He will show you the one thing, the victory, the joy, the success, the happiness, the fulfillment, what He calls the abundant life. Both Old and New Testament call us today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Psalm 95:7 and quoted in Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So brothers and sisters, in this holy season of Lent, let us come like this young man with a heartfelt inquiry. Lord, show me. Show me what that one thing is that You really need me to attend to. And hear Jesus call us to the hard truth. And hear Jesus point us to the one thing that's holding us back, and turn from a hardened heart response, and let Jesus say, yes, let's work on that. Lord, help me with that. Help me with that. This little battery kept a whole automobile from functioning. You know, I've shared this message a couple of places, and invariably I've had some folks come up to me afterward and say, Larry, I'm afraid I have more than one thing. Yeah, me too. And I'm sure, see, that's what I don't want you to miss, I'm sure that the rich young ruler had more than one thing that he needed to give attend to in his life. But the message here, the great truth is that if we'll open our hearts, Jesus will honestly point us to the one thing, like this little battery, that's especially holding us back from growing in the Lord, from victory, from abundance in life. I don't mean financial abundance, I mean the good things of Jesus. One thing that can open doors to a whole new beginning for you with Jesus. And you know, we begin, the way we begin that process, just like the young man, is coming to Jesus and saying, what must I do? and on our hearts has to be the song that we're going to close with. Have thine own way, Lord. You know me. You know me inside out, upside down, and backwards, Lord. You created me. You know my strengths and you know my weaknesses. And you know the one thing that's holding me from being all that you want me to be. Will you show me that? And will you help me overcome that? And will you have your own way in my life? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful encounter between this young man and Jesus. We're so sorry that he needed to leave Jesus' presence, not taking care of it. But Lord, we come in our brokenness, in our incompleteness, and we're asking you honestly, Lord, will you show to each of us the one thing which is keeping us from being more with you, fuller with you, more complete with you? And will you help us to overcome it by your power and by your strength, as we say and as we're about to sing, have thine own way, Lord. Amen. Let's turn to 387 and stand and sing. Pray with me. Lord, in a world that seems to have lost its way, in a time when prophecies that seem maybe impossible are being fulfilled all around us. In a time when the sin of the world seems so blatant. And in a time when we realize our own need, we come to you just as we have sung, pleading, have thine own way in each of our lives. Lord, like this young man, we'll come sincerely. We know how far we are from your holiness and your perfection. We know that. We feel it. We say, Lord, what must I do? And we hear you say, there's one thing I really want you to work on. One thing that could make such a difference. One thing which can take you to new levels of walking with me. Lord, we say, we want to hear it. We probably already know it. But Lord, help us by your power, by your strength, by your ability where all things are possible, where the things that seem impossible are completely possible with you. Would you help us to deal with that thing in our lives which is keeping us from the fullness of what it might be? Thank you for this season as we draw near and near the cross. Go with us now from this place as our ladies meet for a meeting, as we go to the warmth of this day, so inviting, and as we go to family activities, and as we look at the work weekend, Lord, as we go, please go with us. Guide us. Help us. Show us your way. Today and always. We love you, Lord. We need you so much. Wonderful, merciful Savior. And we praise you in the precious and holy and matchless and mighty name of Jesus. We proclaim you.